Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. In this show, we explore the film adaptations of Philip K. Dick, possibly the most influential writer of the 20th century. I hope you enjoy the show. Reality is that which, when you stop believing in it, doesn't go away. So said Philip Kindred Dick, science fiction author and the writer of the novel Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, from which Blade Runner was created. He was born in Chicago in December 1928 and had a twin called Jane who died when she was 2 months old. His parents split up and he moved to Berkeley with his mother. He had his first story published in 1952, aged 24, and his first novel, Solar Lottery, was published in 1955. Dick was a prolific writer and in the 50s and 60s had over 100 short stories and 24 novels published. He lived a chaotic personal life and married no less than 5 times. The early 70s he lost to drug experimentation, and in 1974 claimed to having a religious visitation, which he would refer to and try to explain for the rest of his life. His books were published by low-paying publishers, and so he was forever searching for the next advance in order to pay the bills. He never saw any royalty checks until the rights to Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep were optioned, and he received payment from the producers of what would become Ridley Scott's Blade Runner. Here's some of the superbly hypnotic music by Vangelis from the film.
Thank you.
Philip K. Dick has become one of the most sourced writers in the cinema. What is it about him that attracts so many creative people? His writing is extremely imaginative and is a perfect background for visual creativity, but there is a lot of humour in his writing too. Most of the time he paints a dystopian vision of the future. For example, in one novel, hoardings on motorways represent Mars as the wonderful new frontier to discover, but when his hero gets there, he finds it's just as messed up as the Earth. What separates Dick from other science fiction writers is his ability to make the reader question things they take for granted. Up until the year 2009, the total revenue from films based on his writing had reached $1 billion. Gulp. Total Recall in 1990 was directed by Paul Verhoeven and comes from a short story called We Can Remember It For You Wholesale. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sharon Stone. The first half is absolutely fantastic psychological thriller, but then it loses its way when it strays too far from Dick's original story. It's about a man who buys a virtual reality holiday on Mars. Michael Ironside is particularly nasty in the film. Jerry Goldsmith provided the music. The Dick short story was first optioned in 1974, 16 years before the film was made, which shows just how influential his writing has become. In fact, David Cronenberg was due to direct Total Recall and had written no less than 12 drafts of the script before Paul Verhoeven took over the project. In 1992, Jerome Boivin made Barjot, which was a French adaptation of Dick's wonderful semi-autobiographical novel, Confessions of a Crap Artist. It had a mixed reception. Dick fans thought it strayed too far from the original novel, and non-Dick fans didn't quite get its dark and quirky lightheartedness. Screamers in 1995 starred Peter Weller and was based on a short story called Second Variety. It's a high-octane action movie set on another planet, although Dick's story takes place on Earth. It was directed by Christian Duguay, and this is Hard Luck Solution, sung by Lulu Hughes. In 2001, we got Imposter, directed by Gary Flader, from a short story of the same name. It had an interesting genesis, as it was originally intended as a 40-minute part of a three-part sci-fi movie, together with Mimic and Alien Love Triangle. The producers liked the daily footage so much they decided it could stand alone. Gary Sinise plays a doctor who finds himself suspected of being an enemy of the state from somewhere else. This is John Lee Hooker with Boom Boom.
Boom, 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 boom. Gonna shoot you right down. Let all your feet. You home with me? Would you in my house? Boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love to see you walk up and down the floor when you're talking to me. That baby talk. I like it like that. When you talk like that, you knock me dead. Right on my feet. How, 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 how. Yeah.
you walk that walk and talk that talk and whisper in my ear. Tell me she love me. I love that talk, that baby talk. She knocks me dead right off my feet. How? Yeah, yeah. My baby.
Steven Spielberg got the Philip K. Dick bug, and the following year he made Minority Report with Tom Cruise and the excellent menacing Max von Sydow. The concept is interesting, about a future where police can get pre-knowledge of a violent crime and prevent it from taking place through the use of highly intelligent human beings called precogs. It's a very enjoyable film with music by John Williams. Here's part of his soundtrack suite.
Thank you.
In the first decade of this century, there were no less than 5 movies based on Philip K. Dick source material. In 2003 came Paycheck from John Woo, with Ben Affleck playing an engineer at the bad end of a conspiracy, set in a future where memories are wiped to prevent company secrets being spilled. Dick was addicted to amphetamines, explaining why his output was so high, but it also fueled his paranoias, and so persecution of an individual is high on the agenda in his books and stories. The Dean Djordjaris script for Paycheck doesn't do Dick many favours, and anyone watching this won't become a Philip K. Dick fan for sure. By the way, Ben Affleck picked up a $15 million paycheck for this film. Here's the main titles music by John Powell. In 2006, Keanu Reeves, Winona Ryder, and Robert K. Downey Jr. were in A Scanner Darkly, an animation film based on the Dick novel of the same name. Directed by Richard Linklater, it was well received by Dick fans. Reeves plays a cop who infiltrates a group of drug users to penetrate a drug supply chain, but ends up becoming an addict himself, and loses his personality in the process. It was a faithful adaptation of the novel, but I don't quite see how the animation helped the movie. There's a temptation with the directors of these films to substitute high-tech action scenes and technology for much of the thought that went into Dick's writing. The fact that he chose to set his stories in the future tends to miss the point about his genius. He was a philosopher primarily, concerned with man's opinion of himself and civilization, and setting the scene in the future was a simple way of playing tricks with reality. Very few of these films do his writing enough justice, where he quite literally pulls the rug from under your feet and you find yourself taking nothing for granted. This is Little Blue Flowers from Graham Reynolds' score for A Scanner Darkly. The following year, 2007, brought Next, an adaptation of Dick's novel The Golden Man, about a Las Vegas magician, Nicolas Cage, who can see a few minutes into the future. The government soon discovers him and has a different agenda planned than performing magic tricks. Again with this one, the Dick magic got lost in the script and we ended up with an action movie. But I guess we shouldn't give an audience too much to think. Here's Strange Brew by Cream.
Now what you gonna do? what's inside of you. She's some kind of demon that she didn't look to. If you don't watch out, it'll stick to you, to you. What kind of fool are you? Strange brew, killing what's inside of you.
The next Dick film to come had, can you guess it, Matt Damon in The Adjustment Bureau in 2011 from the short story Adjustment Team. I hope you're getting the picture here. Philip K. Dick equals futuristic action movie equals box office returns. Conclusion: don't bother about what the writer intended with the original idea. Just steal the setting and put your indestructible male star in the driving seat. Unfortunately, the end result of that approach is just a conveyor belt of similar films. And this plot certainly does ring a bell. Damon plays a politician who finds himself being pursued by the agents of fate as he chases a girl he thinks he's in love with. The result was a box office success, but there was too much cheese in there and not enough salt and pepper. Dick definitely deserves better treatment. Here's Fate by Thomas Newman from The Adjustment Bureau. So far, in my opinion, the original Blade Runner and Minority Report have been the only worthy adaptations. And as for Blade Runner 2049, unfortunately one of the most disappointing films I've ever seen. The plot hardly varied from the original, when the sky really was the limit. It was virtually a remake and definitely not a sequel. When I heard that Hampton Fancher, the original screenwriter, was involved, I was optimistic to say the least, but the end result was a missed opportunity, sorry to say. But there is hope for Dick fans out there. The Man in the High Castle, winner of the prestigious Hugo Award, has been turned into a successful TV series, and Electric Dreams is another TV series based on his short stories. However, Electric Dreams has mixed reviews so far. One review was entitled A Small Amount of Dick. Philip K. Dick was always doubtful about the turning of Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep into a movie, and over the years was critical of all the ideas that were discussed. However, he was invited by Ridley Scott to see some of the special effects being designed for Blade Runner, and he came out pleasantly surprised. From that point on, he was completely in support of the project. Unfortunately, he died of a stroke 4 months before the film was released, so sadly never got to see Scott's final film. He remains an enigmatic figure and leaves us a wonderfully vast body of work, so there's plenty left for filmmakers to butcher or turn into masterpieces. I personally would love to see Flow My Tears, The Policeman Said, turned into a movie. Philip K. Dick could possibly be the most influential writer of the 20th century. Let's end our tribute to him with some more Vangelis music from Blade Runner. Here's the end title's music.